Father, we are here, we are gathered together, and we are aware of who you are. We turn our hearts, we turn our ears, we turn our eyes towards you. We want to see only you, Lord Jesus. We want to be transformed more and more into your image. And Father, I pray that the words that come from my mouth would be life, they would be truth, and they would be full of grace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I love being in this house. I must say, we are really blessed. I listened to Dion's sermon from last week. I mean, wow, it was good. It's titled good as well. I love how the Lord brings so many flavors in this house. You don't just get one meal, and it's great. So I just want to check, who did their homework that Dion gave us last week? There we go. We got one, two, three. The rest of you still have to go read Psalm 107 and Psalm 145. That's it. Yeah. Okay, I also did my homework. Dion, do I get a sweetie? It's good. It's good. Title of my sermon is First Impressions Lost. That's a boot print on the moon. First Impressions Lost. I just want to ask quickly, are there any runners in the house? See, there we go. We got one. Have you run a marathon? Do you remember your first marathon? Yes, you remember the first marathon. Funny enough, I'll say. Okay, I haven't run a marathon yet. Not sure I'm built for that. We're the married people. Who remembers the first date? There we go. Some men actually put up their hands. It's great. Hallelujah. Yeah. I lit the first fire of the winter last night. My daughter said, no, it's not winter. I was like, kachel needs to be on. So you remember these things. The first things matter. First things are important. First impressions last. That's the message this morning. First impressions last. And you'll see where we go with this. I was driving a lot lately, so I had a lot of time to think, not a lot of time to read. And as I was driving, I'm going to just quickly lay some foundations here, and then we'll get to the actual sermon. This thought came up, why does the resurrection matter? I mean, why don't we just have a faith that has a lot of good teaching, good moral rules to follow, good principles to apply? Why do we have a faith that is hinged on the death and resurrection of a man 2,000 years ago? Now, surely it matters. And I want to go to the scriptures because it gives us the answer. I want us to have the biblical answer. So let's look at Romans 4. This is what I was meditating on. And it's talking about the faith of Abram, that there was accounted to him as righteousness. And then it continues and it says about the same faith. It will be counted to us who believe this righteousness, like for Abram, in him who raised from the dead, Jesus our Lord. And here we go. Who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. That's why the resurrection matters so much. Is the resurrection, in the resurrection, is our justification. What does that mean? It means that by raising Jesus from the dead, and look, the Trinity was involved in that. You can go look at the scriptures. Jesus is the only one who can claim to have raised himself. The Holy Spirit was involved in raising Jesus from the dead, and the Father raised him from the dead. It says God raised him from the dead. So we don't have a trick question there. But by God raising Jesus from the dead, he was communicating that the price paid for the sin was enough. He's saying his wrath was turned away, was satisfied by the offering, because he raised Jesus from the dead, and now his favor rests upon the Son. that the offering made by the saints for our assurance, the resurrection shows us that the offering was enough for our trespasses, for our sin. That we are justified now, that we are in Christ experiencing the same favor. In Christ, we experience the same favor that Christ, now the wrath of God has been satisfied. The favor of God is upon Christ, the resurrected one. And in Christ, we experience that same favor. That's why it matters. It really matters. In fact, Paul writes in 1 Corinthians, I'm just laying some foundations here. He says, "For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith, like Abram's, is futile and you are still in your sins." Major problem. Because then you're going to perish in your sins, he continues to write. But thank God, Christ has been raised. See, last week, Dion shared about God is good and he does good. This is also why he can do good to us, why we can experience his favor in Christ. He looks favorably on the one who is resurrected. But what does this justification look like? Because that's the thing for me is, first impressions lost. If we want to have an understanding about the extent of this justification, we should look at the first encounter with the resurrected Christ. Well, for me, it's a good start. You know, for me, first impressions lost. I think for a lot of people, they do. So that's where I'm going to go to. But before I go there, you know, let's just quickly I'm going to do a light version of apologetics, so don't take me on here. But why can we know that the resurrection happened? So I'm just going to give you three. One, we have the empty tomb. It's still empty. Okay, you can go there. There's no one in the tomb. It's empty. That's easy enough. The second one is, if you, in that time, were going to make this up, you would select witnesses that were not women. Okay? In the culture, the women were not given great value in as witnesses. So if you were going to stage this, you're not going to select women as the first witnesses. In fact, what we have here is Mary as the first witness. It's actually Mary and Mary are the first witnesses. And she's a little suspect because Mary has a bit of a backstory. She's a bad reputation. So if you're going to choose a witness, you're going to at least choose someone that's like maybe a princess or something, right? Someone with a bit of authority. Now, Mary had 7 demons. See, this is how God works, because it's about his story. So he chooses Mary and the other Mary, it says. Lastly, and we take this for granted, but you'll see this often when you read the Gospels, you'll see the confusion. When Jesus is talking about his crucifixion and his resurrection, there is a heck of a lot of confusion, especially with the Pharisees and the scribes. They're like, what is he talking about? And even the disciples, they're confused because this is not a theological idea or teaching to them that their Messiah is going to be crucified and resurrected. So why would you make up something that nobody else already thinks about? It doesn't make sense. Like, why have a resurrection? Why? And Jesus prophesies it. And they're like, what is he talking about? Where is he going? Where is he leaving to? Is he going to Greece? You know, these are the kinds of things that happen. So this is a light apologetics why we can really trust in the eyewitness accounts. But let's park a little bit with who is Mary Magdalene, or Mary from Magda, is maybe also how it could be translated, as a town. You know, she had 7 demons. It's a lot, right? Interesting, she was also one of the women who ministered to Jesus. In other words, from her financial means, she supported his ministry. Right? So she's invested in his ministry. Okay? Mary is there at the cross. If you read in Matthew 27, she's there at the cross with Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and Salome, mother of the sons of thunder. Mary's at the cross. So like Vander preached a few weeks ago, Mary was present. She reported for duty. She never left. She's at the cross. In fact, you read further, Mary is also at the tomb. Mary and the other Mary, they are at the tomb when Joseph from Arimathea has the stone rolled closed. Mary's at the tomb. She sees the body laid down. And then, like Andre just shared, on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, Mary's there. Mary has reported for duty. She knows what to do, what she thinks to do. So Mary is there. Mary's present. She isn't perfect, but she's present. Isn't that encouraging? We can be witnesses, even though we're not perfect, we can just be present. Because it's not about what we do, it's about what he does. Right? Hallelujah. We don't have to be qualified like that. So here we go. That's the backstory here. And this is why I wanna focus here on Mary and Mary's encounter. Because it's the first encounter with the resurrected Christ. So the first impression we get here really should indicate to us what is his disposition to us. Anything that's important should give us an indication. What is the resurrected Lord's disposition to us? So that's the backstory. That's where we come to Matthew 28. I think it's verse 5, Matthew 28, verse 5. So we have Mary and the other Mary, they come, and there's an earthquake, and a angel has rolled away the stone, and the gods have swooned. One of those other theories. The gods have gotten very clipstill. And this angel says, "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay." Next verse 7. "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold," Matthew's favorite word. I spoke about this the other day. Behold. So we should pay attention. "Behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." Okay, and then we read further, verse 8. So this is now they're heck of confused, eh? They're like super confused. What we here to anoint, and then here's an angel, and the gods are frozen. So they departed quickly. So they're leaving the empty tomb behind them. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. Sounds confusing to me. Have you recently had fear and great joy at the same time? Right. Well, I mean, they're a little confused. "And ran to tell his disciples." So these two women, not very dignified, they're running from the tomb. Okay, so this is the scene. And now we get the first impression. Verse 9. "And behold," is Matthew's word, "behold." And this is something that we need to just take some time on. Jesus met them. Jesus met them. They didn't find Jesus. Jesus wasn't lost. Jesus wasn't dwelling around. Jesus came. The disposition of our God, he still comes to meet us. They're in their confusion, in their trauma, in their uncertainty. Jesus met them. It's beautiful. And then he said, "Greetings!" My father-in-law says, "You can't shout the sermon good." I was going to try. Because that's what he said. We look at, let's just go to the next slide. I think I've got it there. Greetings, this is how the ESV translates it. The New King James Version says, "Rejoice!" I know I have it somewhere. How you can translate this. There we go. The usage, it's actually literally, it says, "I rejoice. I am glad." It's a salutation. Hail! Like they're busy running, and Jesus is like, stop, hey! It's good news. He's not like, oh, I've just been through hell and back. No. It's like, stop, hey, greetings, rejoice. I rejoice. I'm glad. I delight in God's grace. Literally, it means to experience God's grace and favor. This is the disposition of the one who went to meet them. Right? Can we start? That's a good word right there for somebody. You've thought, no, Jesus meets me and he's like, no, Jesus is like, greetings, rejoice, right? Okay, we can go back to verse 9. I think I got all of that out there. Yeah, and they came up to him, and they took hold of his feet and worshipped him. See, worship is always the appropriate response. When Jesus comes to meet us, worship is the appropriate response. But they took hold of his feet. This is profound. He wasn't a mist. He wasn't a spirit. He wasn't an apparition. They took hold of his feet. They touched him. The justification we have received, the price paid for our justification, is so much that these two women are able to touch the risen Lord. How's that? Have you thought about that? They weren't that great. He's that great. And the price paid is that high. To touch his feet. And that also communicates to us something. Well, if he's got feet, we'll have feet one day. You know, he's got a physical body. We will be transformed into that same image one day. One day. We'll have feet. We're going to have eternity with these bodies. I don't even know how my body now works. Right, and we see Jesus' resurrected body. It works completely differently even to this one, because he just comes and he just appears in places. And I mean, he still lets Thomas put his hand in his side. I don't know how that works, because how do the lungs work with? I don't know. Okay, it's a physical body though. I don't have to understand it. I can see the testimony and say, wow, okay. So one day, eternally, we are going to have physical bodies. Still, we'll figure that out then. This is the message, the first impression. They get to touch him. He's communicating something to them. And they worshiped him. You see, we are sometimes so focused, is my worship right? Is it wrong? Is it left? Is it right? Your worship is acceptable in Christ. Your life can be worship that is acceptable in Christ. It's Romans 12:1, let you present your bodies a living sacrifice. We, in Christ, can live lives that are worship unto him. It's not just the songs we sing here on a morning. It's every day of the week, your life can be worship unto the Lord. That is acceptable, that is pleasing, because of what Christ has done. And they took hold of his feet and they worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, here's a good word, do not be afraid. If first impressions matter, and Christ says, do not be afraid, I'm going to go with, do not be afraid. Right, because they're like, okay, this is Jesus. They worship him, they're on their knees, they're thinking, it's the resurrected Lord, we're so confused, this is hectic. And his words are, do not be afraid. That's to us as well. On Resurrection Sunday, Jesus is still saying this. Do not be afraid. He has overcome. He has overcome. Do not be afraid. Go. No, but we're women. We're not qualified. I had 7 demons, Jesus. Go. See, when Jesus speaks, you go. You're qualified. Because it's not about you, it's about him. Go and tell my brothers. Here's a beautiful thing. You see the angel earlier? If we can go back to where the angel was talking, he says in verse, I think it's verse 7, The angel hasn't even got it yet. Yeah, that was it. Verse. Go and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. He hasn't quite snapped it. But here's Jesus, and he communicates, and he says, go and tell my brothers. These guys just all fled. They should be going somewhere else. But Jesus says, go and tell my brothers. He adopts us. Like, we don't adopt Jesus. He adopts us into his family. He calls us brothers in his house. This is the first impression we get. Jesus doesn't use the word disciple here. He uses the word brothers. And he says to these two women, I send you on a mission. Go and tell them to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. Saying to them, listen, I qualify you to bring a message of hope. My brothers are super confused. But you've been here, you've seen me. Go and tell them they will also see me. I mean, that's the heart of evangelism, isn't it? As I've seen Jesus, you can see him as well. Not because of me, not because I'm so special, but because he has given us a task, and there they will see me. Well, I should probably look at my notes. Right. So when we see this account, this is the first account after the resurrection where Jesus comes, and we want to have understanding of what it means in Romans 4:25 that in his resurrection we are justified. This should communicate to us the extent of that justification. This is what he's communicating to us. Greetings. Hey, I rejoice. Hello. Kom hier. Ek jou gevind. And then, worship. Touch me. And then, go tell my brothers. Go. If I send you, you're qualified. Go. See if I missed something here. Don't think so. I've asked some people to hand out communion because it's a good day to take communion. Every day is a good day to take communion. You know that? But we get to do this as a corporate body. So if those who have got the communion with them, if they could help just hand it out, just stay in your seat, you'll get communion. And while they're handing it out, I mean, this is what we're responding to. Romans 4. You can put Romans 4 up again. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Justification is just as if you never sinned and just as if you always obeyed. And now he greets you. And he welcomes you. He finds you. And he says, do not be afraid. This is the era we live in. Jesus is still doing this. The age we live in, Jesus is still going. He's still finding. He's still greeting. He's still saying, do not be afraid. I have overcome. He invites us. Will you be one of the brothers and sisters in the house? Because he's made the way. And in his resurrection, he's communicated to us that the price was enough, that we can live in the favor of God in Christ. In 1 Corinthians, Paul writes, about communion. He says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" So if you struggle with that little paper thing, you've got time. I'm reading further. "In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Choose me. Thank you. So if you'll you'll join me. You see, the wafer is just symbolic for us. This represents not just the body on the cross. It represents the body that is still before the throne, interceding for us. We are partaking in the resurrected body of Christ. When we take communion, we are saying, "I am taking hold of that righteousness, not my own. I can obey because I am accepted." We don't have a bunch of rules to obey in order to be accepted. We can obey him because we are accepted, because of what he has done. And we partake in his body, his resurrected body, the physical resurrected body. We say we take hold of that. We make it our own. So let's eat together. Yes, Lord Jesus, we celebrate your resurrection body, and we partake, we appropriate for ourselves. We say we need your righteousness. You're still alive, still interceding for us. And then we take the cup. This is a little bit more of a trick. There we go. Once again, we give meaning to this. It's not special juice. I didn't sprinkle it with pastor's dust. We give meaning to this because it represents the blood of the new covenant. It represents the blood that was spilled for us. That still speaks for us. It's better than the blood of Abel. So this wine represents that new covenant. And as we come together, has everybody sorted out? Okay. As we come together, let's drink. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your blood seal a covenant that you uphold, and that we can be in you and trust in your work, that it is finished. Amen. If you'll stand with me, I don't know which part of that first impression of Christ challenged you the most. Maybe it's the first part. Jesus met them. Where you are, you feel like you're looking for Jesus. You know what? Jesus has already found you. Maybe that's you this morning. Or maybe you've been met by Jesus, but you thought he was doing this. And it challenges you that he's actually saying, rejoice, be glad, experience God's grace and favor. Maybe you don't think your life is worship unto him. Well, you know what? By the empowering of the Holy Spirit, it will be. Maybe it's difficult for you. You can relate to being a disciple. You say, yeah, just call me a disciple. Give me a job to do. But it's tough being called a brother because you don't feel like you deserve it. You know what? They all ran away and he calls them brothers. They ran. It's only Mary there. And the other Mary, Salome. He calls them brothers. Because of what he has done, the price paid was enough. Maybe you're struggling with that commission. Go, bring hope. Not me, Lord. I'm not qualified. No, you're not. He's the one who qualifies. You can just go. It's a simple message. He's risen. Still is. Still alive. So I don't know what challenges you about that first impression. But let's take a moment and just ask the Holy Spirit to come and minister to that place. Bring life. Bring restoration. Bring healing. Right thinking. To align ourselves with the Word. The truth revealed to us. So Father, I thank you that your Word is alive and it is still cutting away the lies we believe. It is truth. And we can respond to you, O Lord Jesus. You're the one who has come to find us. And that this is your disposition towards us. And we can respond in worship. So I just want you to take a moment and ask the Holy Spirit to just minister to you in that area where you are challenged. And if I can ask the intercessors to come to the front. If you want to pray with someone, you're welcome to come to the front if you want to pray with someone about any of those things or anything else. Or turn towards one another in the chairs and pray about whatever the Holy Spirit has touched upon your life this morning. Danny Joe brought a word last week that we should not miss the moment of his visitation. We do not want to leave here not transformed by his presence. So do not miss the moment of his visitation. Respond to the invitation. Greetings. Rejoice. I'm going to close for us, and then if you want to come to the front and pray with someone, you can do that after I've closed. Father, we thank you for this day. That we can remember again the message of the resurrection. That your wrath is satisfied. That your favor rests upon us in Christ. And I pray that as we go from this place, we would go and tell. And bring more brothers and sisters into your house. Because this pleases you. It is what you desire for all to be saved and come to the knowledge of who you really are. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. If you're not praying with someone and you're not coming to the front, you're welcome to grab coffee at the back. Amen.